Hey, it's glad you're here today. We're going to try to give as much time for our speaker. How many know that God wants to do something really cool today? He really does in our lives. It's an all day, but it's more than just a day. It's something that God is beginning. I felt like it's a demarcation day where God's going to do something really, really wonderful and great. So the announcements are, read your bulletin. You know, you can read. You guys can read. You guys can. And tonight we'll be back at 6 o'clock. Our family, we're gathering tonight at 6. And then also just to let you know, at the end of service, we're going to be receiving a low offering for Matt Gonzalez and his ministry. He and his wife Desiree are just wonderful, wonderful people. There is one thing I want to share besides Joy of Intercession, which is tomorrow night, is that if you don't have a place to go for Thanksgiving this Thursday, Marcia, Larry, and Eva are going to be in the fireside room at 3 o'clock. And so if you need a place to come for a Thanksgiving meal, we don't want anyone to be alone. So come and join us. It's going to be a great time. Also, what's really kind of cool, as many of you know, we are working with Opportunities Unlimited after the first of the year to be joining with us in our fireside, our education wing, and opening up an ability to minister to them. Well, what's a beautiful thing is that they've got some family that can't make it, to have no place to go for Thanksgiving, so they're going to be joining with us as well. They're going to be bringing some food. They said, how can we help? How can we be a part of this? And dear family, one of the things that our heart is for 2018 is how can we get into the community and love the community? And God's bringing the community to us so that we can love them. So if you want to serve, if you want to give, you want to help, be sure and be a part of that. Ushers, come on. And right at the end of Pastor Matt's message, we're going to be giving him a love offering. And just bless he and his wife, Desiree, and Jordan, his brother. Okay, everybody. Jordan, can I embarrass you? You say you don't get embarrassed easily. Anybody seen the new Thor movie? Okay. He looks like Hulk. He looks like, was it Mark Ruffalo? Could you turn around, Mark, and just wave to everybody? Can you, Mark Ruffalo? Yeah, there he is right there, the Hulk, everyone. Yeah, baby. Hey, if you're giving this morning, you're from just make your offering to Valley. If you're from Hope, make it to Hope, and we'll make sure that it gets distributed correctly today. Hey, God, we love you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for the gifts that you bring into our lives. The apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. We thank you for these gifts that equip us for the work of the ministry. And we thank you for Matt and Jordan, that they are a gift from you to us. And we receive, Lord God, that gift with great honor. And we bless this offering, bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, without further ado, could you put your hands together and you can welcome Matt Gonzalez here today.
Come on. You know, my brother Jordan gets Mark Ruffalo and I get Emerald from the Cooking Channel. One time I was at the church and they said I look like Emerald. I was like, I don't see it. It was funny because we were at dinner yesterday. I was like, I put up a picture of Emerald and he had his hand saying, bam. And I was like, there's no resemblance. Oh, I think I had to pray for our eyesight maybe. I don't know. Hey, we're going to have a fun time. I mean, you know, we're supposed to have fun in church. Matter of fact, one of the defining marks of a Christian was that we would have peace and joy. And I want to propose to you, the world is looking for peace. But as a believer, we don't look for peace, we live from it. And one of the things that I had to learn over the years, because when I was earlier in Christ, I learned a message on peace, that when I make a decision, I want to seek God's peace in a situation. And it was a good teaching, the heart was right, but I want to propose to you, if he's the Prince of Peace and he lives inside of us, peace is a place we live from, not something we look for. And so peace was actually a guiding system. So it's not like we look for peace in things, we actually live from peace, and if our peace lifts off us, we don't go that way. We're going to have some fun! I love this. Oh, man. Come on. That's a good brother right there. So we're going to have some fun this morning. Well, my name is Matthew Gonzalez, and me and my wife, Desiree, she couldn't be here because we're in the process of moving, relocating our family to another city. It's a long story. Maybe I'll share a little bit of that tonight. And so she couldn't be here. We have four kids. We took the scriptures seriously, be fruitful and multiply. And so we were serious about that. And we had four kids. We have a daughter, 8 years old, named Hayden. We have twin girls named Peyton and Riley. And they are six. And then we have a three-year-old son. They keep us busy. So all the proceeds of the tithe and offering are going to feed the hungry children, mine. So, how many? Come on, you guys, we're supposed to be joyful. I think one of the worst things that could happen is you show up to a church and it feels like a funeral. Yet, our God's not dead. Is that the defining mark of our Christianity? Out of every world religion, I've studied those. Out of every world religion, the defining mark of Christianity is our God's the only God that's not dead. He's alive. And so we have a lot of reason to celebrate. So when we step into a church service or a church meeting, it shouldn't feel like a funeral. It should feel like a celebration every week. As a matter of fact, it's a celebration leading up to the ultimate celebration. So this is actually practice. We're practicing for the ultimate celebration. So here we go. So me and my wife, Desiree, little history. We started ministry on the college campuses. We're on two college campuses in Stockton, California, called San Joaquin Delta College and University of the Pacific. And then we also did 2 years at UC Berkeley. And UC Berkeley is an interesting campus. It's in Berkeley, California. I'll put it this way. There's a lot of people in the White House who came from Berkeley. So I'll just say it. That's good enough right there. So, but UC Berkeley is one of the only college campuses you actually can get a degree in witchcraft. And so that's actually one degree you don't want because it does more with you than you can do with it. And so some of you guys will get that on the way home. And so we are on the college campuses, and one of the things, you know, being on a college campus and reaching college students, we just can't hand out tracts and say, hey, Jesus loves you, because they're like, I don't want to hear about Jesus. Matter of fact, the statistic is 75% of students in our youth groups, when they actually step onto a college campus, will leave their faith. So, because college professors want to talk you out of your faith. But if you have a faith that can be talked out of, then you don't really have a real faith. Come on, somebody. And I want to propose to you, I mean, growing up, a couple things happened, traumatic events happened in my life. Number one, I grew up in, when I was probably about 3 or 4 years old, my father got in a very severe truck accident at work where his diesel truck flipped over and he was thrown out. And it was actually an angelic intervention that saved his life. My mom was a prayer intercessory warrior. She prayed for my dad for 19 years. My dad was a Catholic and didn't really believe in God. And my mom prayed. I'm actually a result of a praying mother. So all the praying mothers, don't give up. Let me be a sign to you today. I would come home from a night of clubbing and partying and come home, cuss my mom out and just say, don't leave me. I don't want to hear about your Jesus. And you know what she did? She didn't force me to go to church. She said, she just loved on me. And the scripture where it says the kindness of God leads us to repentance, I actually saw the fulfillment of that in my life. Every time she kept being nicer to me, I kept being meaner. But I couldn't out-mean her love. Eventually, it caught up. And so I'm a result of the love of God through a praying mom. Praise God, she was not controlling. Thank you, Jesus. Because I like to say it this way. If we have to scare people into the kingdom, then we have to scare them to stay in the kingdom. Fear was never God's motivating. Fear didn't motivate God to the cross. It was love. And love is always the motivating factor to transform people's lives. So my father was in a severe truck accident, almost died. And then a few years later, my mom got pregnant with my brother, Zach, and he was born 1 pound, 1 ounce. I grew up in a Hispanic culture. So in Hispanic culture, it's called machismo. It's you don't show your emotions. So I grew up seeing my father never cry. And here's the thing about machismo. That actual phrase machismo actually means in Spanish sterile mule. So the more macho you are, what you're saying is that you can't produce family. So this machoism is actually killing family. So anyhow, my father never cried until we got the news that my brother was born and that he might die. And I saw my father cry for the very first time. And when I saw him cry, he tried to hide it because he wasn't supposed to show that, you know, show emotions. So those two events really hit our family hard. We fell in some really hard times. And I became event-oriented. So there was an event that happened every 2 weeks. It was called payday. My dad got paid every 2 weeks. And I would beg my mom, because we had some hard times. We would have a loaf of bread 1 week, and then next week we would have tortilla and butter. Some of you guys aren't Hispanic, so you don't get it, but it's all right. Tortilla and butter was good. It's funny because when you fall on hard times, you put things together that don't even belong together, but they taste good. You come up with stuff, it's just like, okay, how? That don't even belong together, but it just tastes good. Like Spam and Top Ramen fried. I mean, that's just. I believe that's how peanut butter and jelly came about. That was a hard time. And so we fell on some hard times. So one of the things that happened was that I really, at the time, I liked what was called He-Man, Masters of the Universe. Some of you guys are like, huh? I don't even know. There are these toys. And so I begged my mom to take me to the local toy store. And so she, when we were, you know, she would take me every once in a while. But we had some hard times. So she took me to a toy store. And I would get the knockoff version. So instead of He-Man, I got Herman. And it was very interesting because you got the knockoff versions. So I grew up with the knockoff versions, and I started going to school. And when I went to school, my mom would take me to Payless to get me shoes, and I would get these shoes. They're called Pro Wings. And they had Velcro snaps, and they were maroon, and they had like a little zipper on the side where you put your lunch money, and I would go to school. But I found out Pro Wings weren't really popular amongst my peers. And so I got made fun of. I mean, I got made fun of pretty hard. And I would come home crying, and my mom's, what's wrong, mijo? And I just said, Mom, you know, I would tell her, she goes, that's all right, we'll go to the flea market, and or swap meet, whatever, I don't know what you guys call it, flea market, and we'll get you some Nikes. And so, because Nikes were in, so I was like, yes. So we went to the flea market, got some Nikes. The thing about the Nikes, they were knockoffs. So the Nike was awesome, but the eye was crooked. And so talk about getting more, I mean, going to school with knockoff Nikes was not the thing. And so I grew up understanding what counterfeit and knockoffs were. And I want to propose to you, in a day of counterfeit knockoffs and imitation, there's one thing that cannot be a knockoff, an imitation, or a counterfeit, and that's your faith. Can't be. If you have a knockoff, counterfeit faith, I'm going to tell you what, in times of resistance is when your faith will rise. And if you have a counterfeit knockoff faith, you're in trouble. What's a counterfeit knockoff faith? I like to propose this way. There's many ways. It's a fake faith, but it could be a faith that merely is stuck in concept, not in substance. And so many times we have faith in concept, but we don't have it in substance. The substance of faith is released when hard times arise. And so we want faith in substance, not in concept. And many times, many of the principles of the scripture, we as believers, we merely hold them in concept, but they don't become substance. We want the substance of the kingdom flowing through our lives. And this is one of the things I found on the college campus, because how do you get the attention of students that want to hear nothing about God or don't even believe God? So one of the things we would do, we would set up an open air meeting. And instead of handing tracts, the Lord would tell me, Matt, I don't want you to hand out tracts. I want to hand you out as a living tract. So we would set up these meetings. I don't have a video, but I should have brought the video. And we would do these outreaches. And what I would do is get up on the mic in a secular college campus, and I would say, okay, if the first person who comes up here does not get healed, the rest of what I'm going to say, I will not say it. We'll tear down and we'll go home. Well, that's pretty presumptuous, isn't it, Matt? How do you know? No, I just know my God's big enough. He's looking for sons and daughters that would step out so he can actually do what he said in the Bible. And so we did this, our first one, and we had this young man who was having an asthma attack. His name was Qual Wayne. He just had happened to walk by, heard what was said, came forward. We prayed for him as we're praying in front of the crowd. He's saying he's feeling like a heat in his chest that he can't explain, and it keeps getting hotter. And so he was going, and he totally gets healed. And he testified on the mic to everybody that something just happened, that he can breathe. He doesn't know how to explain it, but he can breathe. I mean, you know, when that happens, you have automatic people's attention. And we saw 60 students give their life to Christ. That's exciting. But what's more exciting is the same God that's in me is the same God that's in every believer, should be. And so this was just a natural day in the kingdom. Right? It's we carry his presence, we carry his kingdom. God is wanting his presence to get outside of the unbelieving believers. I don't know if you got that. And we're going to do that. I believe this city is really, really ripe for a massive move of God. I believe there have those who have gone before us and gone before you in this city that have prayed for such a time as this. And God is not going to let their prayers go silent to heaven and not see, or if they've gone on to be with the Lord, at least reap the harvest in which they have sowed into. And many times we're a product of someone else's harvest. And so I get excited because stepping into this city, I'm really feeling and sensing some things, just sharing it with Pastor Mike and Pastor Jeff. And I got to tell you, you guys have some awesome leaders. Pastor Mike and Debbie, just such a father's heart. And then Pastor Jeff, just a strong leader. And then just meeting Jacqueline, we haven't got to really meet, but she just carries a fire on her, man. She is fiery. I just know by the Spirit, she is fiery. Wow, I'm going to have to pray she gets some impartation of that fire so I can take back. But I want to talk to you this morning just real briefly, and we're just going to, I believe God is speaking. He's always speaking. Many times we're not always listening, or we don't always understand the way he speaks. And so he's speaking this morning, so I'm excited to be able to partner with him, and we're going to partner with God this morning. But I want to propose to you this morning that right now there is a huge need to actually see past the accepted so that we can lay hold of the unexpected. And we can't just hold on to that which has been accepted. And many times what happens in our Christian walk because of disappointment or things that have happened, we come to church, and church is just the thing that's always been. And so it's just how we accept it. It's just things are, we just accept certain things. But in order to go to the next level, we have to let go of that which has been accepted to lay hold of the unexpected. The unexpected is the miracle working power of God. It's God doing what he wants to do in the midst of us. Sometimes it's change. I mean, change is hard. I believe there's a reason the Lord left the Holy Spirit for us. There's many reasons, but one of the reasons he left the Holy Spirit for us is because we would actually see lots of change. Matter of fact, Scripture says we go from glory to glory. So we're constantly supposed to be growing and changing and developing. And so there's a lot of development in the church, but sometimes change is hard. But that's why he left us his Holy Spirit, because he's called the Spirit of Comfort. See, when change happens, many times we want to comfort ourselves, but actually it's the Holy Spirit is supposed to comfort us during times of change. And so, how many of you know, because he gave us the Spirit of Comfort, it also meant he called us to take some really huge step of risk. I mean, no, if you don't need comfort, if you're just staying just kind of like, if you're just comfortable, you don't need a comforter. But when you're taking risk, you need a comforter. Like in a little bit, I'm going to take some risk. I hear God speaking, I'm going to take some risk and step out, and Holy Spirit's with me, and he's going to comfort me. Because we're going to take some risk. Matter of fact, I believe faith is spelled R-I-S-K. You guys doing all right this morning? Good, because Pastor said I can go to 3 p.m., so. Oh, I'm just kidding. Some of you guys, I'm not coming back. I want to propose to you, though, every decision we make in life will either come from a place of love or fear. It's one pull or the other. And God is wanting to woo our hearts in such a way that we would make every decision out of love. So here we go, Matthew 5:13. I'm going to read you a scripture so it'll be an official meeting. I love the word of God. I'm just playing. You'll get my humor soon, I hope. Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men." Verse 14 says this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works." I'm going to stop right there because he didn't say that they may see his good works. He said your good works. "Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven." I want to propose to you that the Lord did not say that you are the light of the church, but he said you are the light of the world. But many times our Christianity gets relegated to just becoming a light within the church. And I want to propose to you that God is moving the church from a place of being a panic room to being a war room. All right, this is not a panic room where we run away from the world because we don't want to be contaminated. This is actually a place where we get to meet with God and that he would send us out into the world as the light. He says, "You are the light of the world." Matter of fact, light shines greatest not amongst light, but against amongst darkness. If you know anything about science, you would know, understand that light is bright in darkness, not light. What happens when light does not shine in darkness, everybody tries to outshine the other light within the church. And so we practice outshining each other because we're not in our right place. I got to outshine this brother right here. I got my make sure. Because light's not in its right place. Matter of fact, it says you don't put a light underneath a basket. And what happens many times in Christianity, our light was within the basket of the church. And we're trying to outshine one another. But when we become the light of this city and the light of the world, see, it says that we're not supposed to, you don't stick a light underneath the basket. You actually stick it on a what? Lampstand. I want to propose to you that lampstand is your platform. That's your place of influence. See, there's not a box big enough that can contain God. He was once in the box. He didn't like it. Now he wants to be in you. Matter of fact, that box was called the ark. His presence was in the box. He said, "That's not good enough. I want to be inside of you." And so in the new covenant, in the new day, he says, "No longer will I live in a box, but I'm going to live in you. I choose to live within the midst of my people." Come on, somebody. His presence is inside us and comes upon us. And so wherever we go, see, I have a core value. Just, I got it from the Word of God. I didn't get it from any speaker. I got it from the Word of God. Wherever I go, someone's going to be blessed. Someone's going to be touched. Someone's going to be healed. Someone's going to be encouraged. Someone's going to encounter God's presence. Something's going to happen. I don't care. You can put me in any environment, I'll thrive. See, if you put a slave in a palace, that palace becomes a slavery. When you put a slave in a palace will now become a prison that enslaves others. But when you put a person of royalty in a prison, i.e. Joseph, the prison will become a palace. You are sons and daughters of righteousness and royalty. It doesn't matter what hand you're dealt or where you're placed, you have the ability to transform it. And one of the things that we've learned over the years, having a school of ministry and being with college students, is they would complain about working at McDonald's. And I said, "You need to quit complaining because God gave you that job." And your complaining is actually stopping you from being promoted, because according to Scripture, the presence of God was with Joseph and promoted Joseph. And so if God's presence is with you, it doesn't matter where you're at, because we had to help kind of transform their mindset, because they actually thought McDonald's was paying them rather than God was actually providing for them. Am I going too fast? I'm sorry. I'm a shotgun loaded and I'm ready just to. And so there was a shifting in their mindset. They had to change, and they begin to realize this. And what happened, we begin to see students get promoted to places beyond their education or grade level. We had a young man named Oscar. Sometimes he comes with me on trips. He worked at a grocery store. And they soon began to promote him. And then he found another job, and the Lord said, it's time to go. And so he left. A couple months later, the store calls him and says, we are willing to pay you more to invite you back, because we don't know how to explain it, but whenever you're here, the morale of all the workers goes higher. And we need that right now. That's the kingdom. Jesus said it this way. He prepared he said the kingdom is like leaven. Leaven, what is leaven? It's what? Yeast. If you put a dash of yeast within dough, what happens? It affects the whole dough. I want to propose to you, you are the leaven of the kingdom. Wherever you're placed at, you have the ability to influence it to see transformation. But if you don't believe that, if you don't see that, then you'll let the culture around you transform you rather than you transform the culture around you. And this is where we're going. This is where you're going. If you would agree with the Lord today, you would begin to see some things begin to take place within your place of influence in this city. If 12 men change the world as we know it, why do we think we need 900 people in the city to transform it? If you have 900 in this city, it shouldn't just be transforming the city. You actually should be transforming nations. 12 men transform the world. My first message I ever preached on a college campus, give me 3 people who will believe that God can transform this campus and will transform it. I don't need everybody, just give me 3. Because how many know it's a choice? If 5 or 10 of you would get it this morning and capture his heart. One of my favorite scriptures is in Acts 17. This is Jason. The apostles went to Jason's house. This is those who have transformed, those who have turned the world upside down are now here. I want that to be said about my life. Like, hey, you know that guy, Matt? He's turning things upside down. He's here now. What do you want said about your life? I don't want to be known as the Christian that always complains that when other unbelievers get around me, they're like, why do I want God? You're going through the same thing I'm going, and you're worse than I am. At least I have liquor to actually drown my problems. There's no difference. I want his presence on my life in such a way and live for him in such a way that when people who do not know God get around me, they're like, I want what you have. And the Bible says we're salt. But if salt loses its flavor, it's no better than just to be trampled on man's feet. I want to propose to you the reason the world is trampling. I want to propose to you that I believe that America has trampled on Christianity because we've lost Christians who are salty. We've lost our saltiness. Because when we lose our saltiness, we're no good just to be trampled on men's feet. If America's trampling on us, then we have to step back and ask, have we lost our saltiness? Come on. Matter of fact, I want to say this. That word tasteless means to become a fool. So the opposite. So when the Lord says you are the salt of the world, that word salt actually is supposed to be wisdom. So know what that's saying? Everywhere you are placed, you're supposed to bring the wisdom of heaven to that place. If not, you become a fool. Anybody want to be a fool in here? How many of you guys want to release the wisdom of heaven at your workplace and your schools? Like just God gives you download to be able to transform where you're at to such an extent that it actually people take notice and go, okay, I need to know what you're doing and what you have. And then he goes on to say, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. See, the light of the world was never meant to be hidden on the sidelines in the days that we live in. Actually, the light is the answer to the darkness. You can't hide from your destiny. The very fact that it says you don't light a lamp but put it underneath the basket is a very interesting fact, because this is what it proves. The enemy of your soul does not mind if you're light in your prayer closet or in the church. His strategy is to get you to shine in your prayer closet and in the church, but it doesn't want you to shine on the lampstand, your place of influence. So how do we do it? How do we shine in society? Well, I'm glad you asked this morning. Matthew 6:22 says this, the lamp of the body is the eye. The lamp of the body is the eye. Are you ready for this? If therefore your eye is good, that word actually eye is good, actually is the word single. Therefore, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, that word bad means labor, annoyances, hardship, pain, toils, trouble, evil. Your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Scientists have found out that the body has what is called a biophoton field. Okay, science has proved this. Every human being has a biophoton field. What is that? Okay, well, I'm glad you asked. It's actually a field that gives off light through your energy. That sounds new age. It's actually, science has done a study. And what they've did in this study is that they've played negative music and positive music, and they noticed that when negativity got around the photon light, it diminished. But when positive things got around the photon light, it grew. So science just proved already what God said, you already are light. I wish scientists would just read the word of God. There's some godly scientists out there. Don't get me wrong, I know some. But if they would just read the word of God, they would know that, all right, hey, he already said that we are light. You just discovered that, but he already said it. So don't act like it's a new discovery. He already said it. It's interesting because the definition of light means a luminous energy and power. Matter of fact, if you actually look up the word energy and power, they're interchangeable. Energy means the power and light, but power means energy and light. So the meaning of these words are interchangeable. Now let's put this together. James 1:17 says this, every good and every perfect gift is from above, who comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, change, or shadow of turning. The Father of lights is the Father of all good. He only gives good and perfect gifts. So that's how you know that sickness on someone's body was not put on there by God. God can't give you sickness because he's never been sick. You can't give out what you don't have. Our ability to be light of the world diminishes when we focus on negative things. Our ability to become single-focused increases the light we get off. So, in other words, double-mindedness decreases your ability to be light. What we focus on determines the external manifestation of the influence that we will have in society. That's why Isaiah 60 says it this way, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. I'm going to stop right there. For darkness will cover the earth, but deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light. Stop right there. It doesn't say nation will come to your darkness. It says nation will come to your light. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around and see. They all gather. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar and your daughters will carry in their arms. Then you will see the radiant and your heart will be thrilled and rejoice because of the abundance of the sea will turn to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. I want to prophesy to you this morning. It's interesting. Because the scripture says arise and shine. It doesn't say arise and reflect. That means God has given everybody a light to shine. It didn't say arise and reflect. It said arise and shine. That word arise is very interesting. You guys tracking with me? You guys doing all right this morning? Anybody getting stirred up in the Holy Spirit? That word arise means to emerge, to become known, to not be hidden. So when you emerge, when you come out of hiddenness, when you take your stand, you're beginning to arise. I love what the scripture is saying. It says, hey, yes, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the people. It's saying, yeah, that's a given. But where I plant my affections and my eyes will determine the realm in which I live from. And it's trying to say, don't focus on the darkness. Focus on the light and the glory coming upon you. Hey, you could turn on CNN right now and get fake news, but you come to church, you get good news. All that's happening in the world is what we already knew. People are tired of fakeness. Matter of fact, there's a statistic. It says millennials, more than any generation, know what they desire? Authenticity. When you become authentic, you get a harvest of a generation. People want something real. They're tired of fake. We're living in a day in America where things are fake. We don't know what's real, what's not real. So you know what that gets? I get excited. I don't get discouraged. I get excited. You know what that means? That means our time has come. We have the most real thing on this earth. If people don't want fake, they want real. Guess what? Hey, we're here. It's time. It's what's in you. It's your time to rise. It's your time that this city receive its destiny. Every city God creates for a destiny. And it takes those who believe in destiny to reveal it. You can tell the destiny of a city by the attack that comes against it. I was born and raised in Stockton, California. And there's two things about Stockton. It was founded during a gold rush time as a resource city to resource gold miners. We have an inland port. And the inland port takes goods to the nations. So the history of our city revealed the attack against our city because our city is known for poverty and gangs. So you know what that reveals? The destiny of our city, the Lord revealed in prayer, is that we'd be a resource to the nations. But how can you be a resource city without resources? And second thing is that it's known for its gangs. That means it's supposed to be known for the redemptive purpose of building family. Oh, I just gave you some insight to understand by the Spirit what's the destiny of your city. See, you want to know the difference between a Christian and a psychic? A psychic can only discern your problems but can't give you answers. A Christian has the prophetic ability to give answers because they're connected to the answer of all answers. And the city's crying out for an answer. And guess what? You have it. You have to believe that you hold the answer to every problem. The quickest way to influence is to solve a problem. How do we know that? Joseph. Daniel. I can take you throughout the Word of God of problems that arise, and men and women of God, they're at the right place at the right time, that answer the problem and God influence. He that has the most hope will always have the most influence. Now, if we have hope, people would be lining up to receive it. I tell people I'm a hope dealer. I tell them that. I'm a hope dealer. I have so much hope, I got to give it away. I deal in hope, and I got the good stuff. Matter of fact, I got the stuff. If you would taste and see, you would know he is good. See, in the natural, see, this is how things work in the natural. If you get a plate of food, like if you've ever been to India, because I've been to India, and they give you food, and you're like, what is that? But sometimes when something looks bad, it's not going in your mouth. But we live in the kingdom of opposites. He said, first taste, then you'll see it's good. You know what happened in the garden? They tasted and lost their eyesight. So God said, okay, to get the kingdom now, you're going to taste it, and then your eyesight will be open once again. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Sometimes it's hard to see his goodness because we're tasting the wrong thing. When you taste of the Lord's kingdom, your eyes are open. And you know what happens? It's what Hebrews says. Our soul becomes an anchor in hope. He says we have a hope that's an anchor for our soul. You know what your soul is? Your soul is where your emotions are. So everybody in the world's emotions are going haywire, and there's more addictions to medication because of depression. You have a hope that anchors your soul that they know, okay, I'm going through the same thing you're going through, but yet you have hope. What's going on? Well, let me tell you something. I'm a hope dealer. And I have hope for you. See, I believe this morning I'm here as a cheerleader. Tonight it's going to be different. But please don't picture me with pom-poms. And I like to be a cheerleader. I want to be your cheerleader this morning. Cheering you on to recognize what's in you, because I'm telling you, there is a major shift that is here, is coming in the city. I learned an interesting principle on my honeymoon when we went to Hawaii. We went to this place in Maui called Big Beach, and I didn't realize why they call it Big Beach, because we went there, it was not a big beach. But they call it Big Beach because there's big waves. And so what happened, as I'm in the waves, I'm swimming, the water's up to my neck. And I'm not paying attention because I'm having fun. I'm distracted. That's really how I was distracted. Before you know it, I realized the water is almost down to my knees. I was so distracted, I didn't recognize what was happening. When I finally realized what was happening, I turned around and got hit by the biggest wave possible. And it hit me so hard, it took the wind out of me, and I became disoriented, and I'm under the water going like this. But thank God for TV. Because I watched a program saying if most people drown because in those times they swim, and they're so disoriented that they actually swim down deeper because they think they're going up. It says, don't swim, stop, you'll float to the top. And so I did that, floated to the top, came off the beach. I'm like disoriented. I'm walking. And all of a sudden, I hear these two young kids behind me laughing hysterically. And I'm like, dude, I'm thinking, man, that's messed up. I just got like, and then I realized it dawned on me. I lost everything. Everything. I lost everything. Everything. It was a bad day. I'm just thankful their social media and cameras, phone cameras, weren't that popular back then. But I learned a valuable lesson. The Holy Spirit spoke to me that day. He said, that which is meant for you to ride on, if you're distracted, will actually crush you. And the harvest that is coming, if we're not ready, will actually crush us rather than be the thing that launches us. And I want to propose to you, the harvest is here. And it's going to happen. I was telling the pastors today, and I want to prophesy to you in this city, there are natural resources hidden in the ground of this city that are going to be realized, that are actually going to be wealth to this city. And those that have kept those out of the city because they don't want change, that's going to change. The change in the guards is going to change in the city. God's going to raise up new leaders and new government that will actually bring those. Now, this isn't a negative thing. It's actually the purposes of God. God says there are things, the wealth in this city that's been hidden in the ground is actually going to attract those who need to be here. And there's wealth hidden in the ground of this city that's going to attract new businesses that are going to be a blessing and not a curse. There is vision coming to this city. The Bible says, without vision, we perish. Death happens in the city when the city lost its vision. Oh. Death happens in churches when the church loses its vision. I want to propose to you today, there's vision that is here. It's been hidden, but it's being revealed now. There's a plan for you. You're not here by accident. You're not just here surviving Lewiston. If you have that mindset, that I'm just here surviving Lewiston, you got the wrong mindset. You're here because Acts says, I believe it's Acts 19, our boundaries of our dwelling and the times that we live in, God purposed those. So what it's saying is that the place you live in and the time you live in wasn't by accident. God put you there on purpose. So if God puts you in a place on purpose, it's because you have something to give. You're not here by accident. You're not here just surviving. You're not just here, I'm on retirement mode. No, there's no retirement in the kingdom. You're here for such a time as this. You're here because you're going to step into the fulfillment of your destiny. You're here because you're going to see a move of God in this city that's not going to be stopped. And I want to propose to you this morning, it's here. It's not going to be brought here by one man. It's going to be brought here by family. Because what God is pouring out can't be held by one person. It would crush him. He needs a family that would hold it. I'll prove it to you. Why did Jesus tell the disciples to wait in the upper room for I think it was 50 days before he poured out the Spirit? All right, I'll tell you why. Glad you asked. Lord said this by the Spirit one day when I was reading that passage. He goes, Matt, remember when you went on a mission trip for 2 weeks? What happened? People got on my nerves. If you've ever been with people for a long period of time, you get on each other's nerves. Now, let's just be honest. I'm being real. Come on, don't... Can you imagine being in the same room with the same people for that long time? Man, that John got anger issues. Man, Peter don't know how to shut his mouth. Right? But I believe there was a moment in time where they became community and family. And at the point they became family, Lord said, that's the family I can trust my power with. Here it comes. And I want to propose to you that there's another outpouring that's coming. On top of this one, that God's looking for a family to carry it because one man will crush him. Are you the family? Are you the family that he's wanting to do this upon? It's interesting that he compares family in Scripture to a body. That each one of us has a different part within the body. Can I propose to you something? The most important part to my body, you can't see. Everybody wants to be the mouth, but no one wants to be the heart. And every part of the body gets its rightful honor. And we're going to talk about this tonight. That's a segue to come back. Now I want to pray for those couple people here. I think we're done. I can keep reaching, but we're done. My brother right here with the teal shirt, Ignite the Fight. How you doing? What's your first name? Alex, you're amazing. You rock. Is this your wife? Ah, come on, what's your name? Tia, you guys are amazing. Sir, come on, see, they know. Hey, Alex, I just saw a picture, and I want to encourage you. God wants to encourage you. I saw a picture, and I saw this picture of you. I actually saw a clipboard in your hand and a whistle around your neck, okay? And I saw you as a coach. What I heard the Lord say is this: He's making you His life coach to the fatherless. I actually saw a young generation that had been fatherless being drawn to you because God's going to raise you up to be a father to the fatherless. He said He's put a father's heart. Matter of fact, you look like you work out. You work out? Oh, no. Oh, we got to pray for that. Wow, you're great. That's a great time for a miracle. Well, we're going to pray for you, but you look like you work out. You look strong. And that's what Lord loves about you, because ever since you were younger, you've always been a voice of justice to fight for those who could not fight for themselves. And the injustice that you've seen in your very own family, God's going to repay you within your family. And God's going to raise you up as a voice of justice, not only to this community, but to nations. And I actually see the Lord put something in your heart that He's going to raise you up. And Jordan, go ahead and come on up, because I believe you have something for Him too. Sorry. Alex, God is so raising you up to become a father to the fatherless. And you're going to coach them, because God said you're a man's man. You're a man's man. You like man things. And I see the Lord's raising up a generation around you that have been a fatherless that don't know how to be men. And you're not just going to teach them the things of God, but you're going to teach them how to be men in society. And the Lord's put such an anointing on you and gifting. It's not something you're going to have to do to force it. It's just going to be an opportunity that opens up to you. But the Lord is preparing your heart right now. Matter of fact, on the outside, you're very strong and tough, but on the inside, you have the Father's heart. You're like a big teddy bear. No, you can beat some things up. Yes, you can. You can tear some things down, but you're like a big teddy bear on the inside. And that's because God put His compassion in your heart. And wherever you go, you actually will fight for those who can't fight for themselves, but also on the inside, you'd give off the shirt off your back to somebody who is lacking. And that's because God has raised you up for such a time as this. But I see not just you doing that, I see it's on both of you guys. I see the Lord's going to have to enlarge the territory in which you live, because I see your house being filled with people who don't know Jesus, and I see you guys teaching and training them. Now, I don't know how that's all going to unfold and manifest, but the Lord so loves you guys that He's put something on you and your family. And that which was robbed from your family is going to be a credit to them in heaven, because you're going to walk it out. And it's going to be so, so amazing.
I don't know. Does the name Luis mean anything to you? Luis? No, okay. So what I felt was, I felt like there's a key connection with a Luis in your life. And so maybe you haven't met him yet. Maybe he's coming. But I feel like there's something significant between this connection between you and this Luis. And it's actually a part of the call of God that's on your life. And I feel like part of the word he's saying, there's this like divine connection with a Luis that's really going to unlock some things in you, in him, and in the call that's on your life. And so I submit that to you.
I'd like to pray for you guys. Would that be all right? So what happened with your leg? ACL, PCL, MCL, or? Oh, so it just happened. Okay. What did you do? If you want me to ask, what happened? Basketball. Wow. Anything active. So do you have a history of knee injuries? Does that run in your family? Okay, well, we're going to break that generational thing off, okay? Because that needs to stop now. That doesn't go forth with you. Okay, so let's pray. Is there where's the drummer at? Is the drummer in here? Where's the drummer at? Hey, can you join me real quick? Would that be all right? Because you have a healing gift on your life, and we're going to activate that. Are we doing all right? You guys doing all right? Okay. We'll just go till 6 p.m. Just getting hop. I know you guys are hungry, so we're, Hey, how do you do? What's your first name?
Josh.
Josh. I just want to, if you don't mind, partner with me, because I just, when you were playing drums, I just saw like this healing gift on your life to not only just bring physical healing, but to bring emotional healing to people's life. And you also have a gift of counsel on you. And I just see this counsel really bringing wisdom to people's lives. It's like almost like a wisdom of Solomon resting on you to bring specific wisdom into situations when it's needed at the right time. And so, Father, we just thank you for that. Well, let's just pray. You mind praying with me? Is that all right? Come on, let's pray. And church, stretch your hands towards Alex, and we're going to pray for a miracle. And we're going to believe that when he goes to the doctor, they're going to be like, hey, there's nothing wrong. Well, Father, we thank you for Alex. We thank you that, Lord, you love him so much you would stop the service to point out the destiny on this couple's lives. And, Father, we say just that generational knee problems in the family generation stops with him now. Father, I believe this young man, Alex, is going to fight on his knees for a generation, so the physical attack on his knees is going to stop now. And so we say right now, from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head, I speak to the ligaments, I speak to the MCL, the PCL, the ACL, I speak to the kneecap, I speak to everything. Father, if the word of God is true and you created his body, that means you know how it functions and know how to heal it. So we say, Dr. Jesus, come right now, do what man cannot do, repair what cannot, what is torn right now. And we just say right now, in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to have my brother right here lay his hand just gently on your knee. Is that all right? And anytime we're praying, if you feel something, stop me, because we want to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit's doing. It's not called the Christian feeling. It's called the Christian faith. So we do everything by faith. But if you feel something, let me know. Father, right now, as his hand is laid, I pray that the raw power of God would shoot through his hand just like there it is. Father, we release the presence of God upon this leg right now. We break all trauma off it, and we say right now, in the name of Jesus, let this be a sign to Alex of the things that are going to come out of his life, and let this be a sign to him of your goodness. So we just say right now, in the name of Jesus, let him save money and not have to pay money for doctor's bills, Father. So we just say, let you come right now, your presence on the knee, and we say right now, just like a warm heating pad, your healing presence on his knee and his leg. And we say now, in the name of Jesus, be made whole. In Jesus' name. How you doing? You doing all right? Are you feeling anything? Sensing anything? Sorry. Come on! Yes! You guys are awesome. And it, Josh, right? You said Josh? Thanks for partnering, Josh. Real quick, my brother over here, you have the camel on. How you doing? What's your first name? Oh, right. Yeah. David? Oh, you have something for him. And my brother got the name David earlier. Hey, David, I heard the Lord said you're his mechanic. Okay? He said you're his mechanic. And many times God will reveal, you have something? You're pulling on me. Oh, okay. Many times God will give me a picture of something, and it actually speaks to their identity. But I heard God said, you're his mechanic. You're God's mechanic, and you have the ability, you have a gifting that he's put on your life that's been undeveloped, but now it's going to be developed, where you're going to be able to go in and diagnose things in people's lives and help bring breakthrough to them. Okay? But God said, you're his mechanic. Matter of fact, what I heard the Lord say is that you don't like fake or fluffy, you like the real. And this is why he's pointing you out, because he want to let you know how real this is going to be for you. Fake, fluffy, you don't like it. Matter of fact, you have a gift of discernment where it actually frustrates you when you hear things because you're like, I'm not sure about that. But it's actually a gift of discernment where you're able to discern what is real, what's not real. But now God said you're going to get nothing but the real. And so I saw the power and presence of God falling on you in such a way that healing signs and wonders are going to begin to follow you, and you're going to know without a shadow of a doubt that this stuff that's happening, Lord, this is real because you're doing it through me. And he's touching you right now. Now, I see a picture, and I'm not sure if it's a daughter or a sister. So do you have a daughter or a sister? Daughter, okay. God is doing something really specific in your guys' relationship. really, 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 really specific. And it's going to be amazing. Matter of fact, he's not only reconciling some things, but there's some things that he's going to do on your guys' behalf where it's going to be a testimony to other fathers and daughters. And it's going to be such a testimony that's going to bring healing to families. What's her name? Tiana. Oh, how old is she? 22. Oh, come on. Oh, you're making me miss my daughters now. Oh, I feel that. I feel that, Lord, in my heart. Father, I thank you for David. And I thank you for Tiana. Tiana, did I say it right, Tiana? I thank you that you guys, that Lord, you love them so much. And there's such a divine partnership that's going to begin to happen with them. And there's such just a hedge of protection around their relationship. Lord, do what you desire to do. And I love, Father, that this is going to be a testimony to so many people of just the divine connection and the heart connection that's going to take place at a whole new level of discovery that's going to be almost like a partnership that people are going to get so rocked by your presence. Now, Father, I thank you that you see him as your mechanic, that he has the ability to go in and fix things that are broken. And Father, you're like the MacGyver of the kingdom. You have the ability to, and I don't believe that's just a spiritual thing. I also believe it's in the physical. I believe there are things that you do with your hands that God's going to begin to bless at a whole new level. You have a gift in your hands to do some things and make some things. And God's going to do something at a whole new level that's really going to open up some doors for you to be a blessing to others. And so, now, do you work on cars at all? No, okay, that's interesting. Because sometimes God will give me a picture like that, and it actually makes more sense than usual. But I heard it said you're his mechanic, so I know that's a spiritual thing. So, Father, we just bless David. And you have something, Jordan?
Yeah, before we got here, I was sharing with Matt. I just felt like there was a David on my heart. And I felt like the Lord said, tell David that David defeated Goliath. And I felt like there's some Goliaths that you've defeated in your past. And he wanted to remind you of the victory of what you've come from, but also to remind you that which is behind, that which is in front of you is far greater than that which is behind you. So I feel like I'm here to remind you of the victories that you've had to, that you've gone through, like that you've gotten, the Goliaths that you've defeated, but also to remind you that you have the victory in this next season that you're coming into. So I feel like there's a transition right now you're kind of in, and I feel like he's already letting you know, hey, you've already got the victory in this transition. Like you've already, you're there already, and he's placed things inside of you. And I'm reminded even David, you know, that he, before even Goliath, he had to take out the bear, you know, he had to take out the lion. And I feel like you've taken those out, and it's actually prepared you for the season that you're coming into. And so I just bless you, David. And so, Father God, I thank you for David. I thank you for the season that he's stepping into. And, Lord, I thank you that in this season you're reminding him of the Goliath that he's defeated. And I thank you that you've given him the victory in this season. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, I wrote a couple things down. We're going to pray prayer for everybody, and we're going to end. Because I know, and let me know, Pastor, whenever, because we could, you know. Is there a somebody here, maybe you have a son named Steve who was born May 1976? A Steve that was born May 1976? Or maybe you are a Steve that was born May 1976. I was in prayer and I felt God really speak something specifically. And said, so I told you, I'm going to take some risk. I'm not afraid to take risk. And I hope I model that. But does that make sense to anybody? No, okay, that's all right. We'll come back. I might be here tonight, so that might be for something for tonight, too. We'll see. My brother right here with the white shirt and the glasses and the hat, how you doing? What's your first name? Monty. Oh, this is crazy. Okay, I love how God does this. My father-in-law is named Monty. When I seen you, you reminded me of him. So that is so crazy. I just got the chills. You're a man of influence. I don't know if you know that, but you have influence on your life, and I see you influencing business and business leaders. Okay, I see you standing before businessmen and business leaders, and God is touching your heart right now in an area of, he's asking you to do some things for you, and he's going to give you some resources to do it. But there's some new vision that's come into your life to expand. So I see expansion happening, not just in your spiritual life, but it has to do things around you. I don't know what you do, or what you do for a living, or if you're, or what it is, But I do know this, God's given you a platform to speak into business leaders and businessmen, and I see opportunities of influence coming where you're actually not going to only influence business, but you're going to have also an impact in government. Okay, there's some government official, there's some things that are going to take place where God's going to give you the heart of people to be able to speak in such a way that brings an impact. And I also felt like the Lord said, you're going to break the poverty spirit off his believers. And so there's a poverty mindset that you're going to help be a part of breaking. And I feel like it's even in this city, in this region, that you're going to get some keys on how to develop Jeff was saying, a prosperous mind and a prosperous and just some wealth and some things. How many know when God says wealth, he's not just talking about money? And so I just want to encourage you, Monty. You are awesome. You're amazing. You carry a father's heart. And God is so on you for such a time as this. And I want to encourage you with this. So I don't know, is this making sense to you at all? Or is it just like new information for you? First time you heard it. Right. What do you do? Wow, you're going to have to. What's interesting is that you have the ability to bring life. Yeah. But I do believe there is, I believe the Lord is speaking to you because I see a transition coming in your life where I see three streams of income coming to you. And so I feel like there's some new things that you're going to give birth to that the Lord's going to speak, to put your hand to, and it's going to be a blessing. So look, he wants to have a conversation with you. So I bless you, Monty, and everything God has for you. In Jesus' name, my sister right here, and we're going to be, how you doing? What's your name? Jesse. Oh, Jesse, you are just so awesome. And if you have anything, Jordan. Jesse, you just carry the joy of the Lord. Now, if you know, you're just like a bundle of joy. You really are. That's how the Lord sees you. And I heard the Lord say that there's a prophetic gift that's on you that is very strong, and it's a discerning gift, okay? So a discerning gift is really strong and it's powerful. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talked about 9 gifts of the Spirit. It's a gift of discernment. So many times what happens is you'll walk into a place and you feel things. Your emotions start acting kind of crazy and wild. But God says you're not out of your mind. You're in his mind. And there's things that have been taking place where you haven't understood. You're actually being trained in the Spirit in this gift to such an extent that it's actually going to begin to grow leaps and bounds where you're going to be able to go to places and God, you're going to pick up what's going on in the atmosphere, but you're going to be able to release the opposite to see breakthrough. Okay, so you have a real gift that God's given you, but there's training. So I see the Lord surrounding you with other mothers in the Spirit that have the gift of discernment and some more training happening. That's going to be amazing. But I also feel like there's some even training, some school training, some more school training that's coming to you. It's going to be really, really awesome and amazing, and it's going to rock. But God says, don't worry when that time comes about the provision that you're going to need because he's going to provide for that. That's why he's highlighting it to you, okay? When he highlights something, it's because he wants to make known that, hey, this is me, and I'm going to do everything I need to do to make that happen, okay? So you are awesome. You're on his heart. There are some things that are going to begin to take place within the next 24 to 36 months in your life, where there's going to be some radical changes and shifting and some awesome things, and it's preparing you for such a time as this. And so I'm so excited for everything God has for you, girl. I can just see you're just lit up. But I heard the Lord say he's going to give you the heart of a generation. And I see a platform coming where you're going to be able to speak into a generation and ignite their heart on fire again. And I heard the Lord say that he's going to give you an anointing to be able to awaken pastors' kids who have walked away from the Lord. And you're going to awaken a fire within their hearts once again to understand the things of God. You're going to break religion. You have the ability to break religion off people. That's really what it is. You have the ability to break religion off people and bring them into authentic relationship with God. So get ready. So Father, I bless Jessie and everything that you have for her. Okay, same stuff. Okay. I love that when God just confirmed. Father, we just bless Jessie and everything you have. Matter of fact, can you stand up and just come forward? I feel like what I saw in the Spirit, I saw a door that you're going to step through. And as you step through the door, there's a new presence that's just going to hit you so hard. You just got a new job on Friday. Come on. So you have something before we do this prophetic act, and then
I kind of felt it's pretty much the same thing, but I just felt you carried this sense of breakthrough, and I feel like there's things you've had to walk through in your life that you've had a breakthrough, and I see actually like women coming to you with similar stories, and you walking with them and causing breakthrough in their life in the areas that you've gotten breakthrough. So I just feel like there's this anointing for breakthrough in certain areas that you've. Because you've had that experience, because you've broken through, you now have authority in that area to break through for others. And so I see you walking with different women through some things and causing breakthrough in their lives as well. And so I bless you with that.
Just do a prophetic act. Why don't you just take two steps forward in just a minute. I'll tell you when. Not yet. I'm actually take two steps forward, and it's almost like you're stepping into a new city. You're saying, God, I'm stepping into this new season, and there's a new presence that's going to carry you in this season. So, Father, I say as he takes the step, just a prophetic act, that the presence, the glory, the kabod of heaven, you just begin to rest upon her, where it would awaken hearts that she comes in contact with, and even family members that have been on her heart to see an awakening, that she would actually carry such a presence that as she comes in contact with these family members, there would be a shaking within their hearts for the presence of God. So we just thank you, Lord. Are you ready for that? Are you ready? Okay. Just go and take us two steps. And Father, we just say now in Jesus' name. We just say now. Now I'm going to grab your hand. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this woman of God. I thank you, Father, that she is a world changer. I thank you for the doors that are open. I see you going overseas. You get a passport. Get a passport. God's going to orchestrate some trips for you. I see you going overseas. I see Africa. I see orphans. I see children that have never experienced love. I see all these different trips and things that are going to take place within your life. And God says, you're not going to have to worry about the provision. He'll bring it. Don't worry. Just capture the vision. Where he brings vision, he brings provision. Capture the vision. Let the vision so captivate your heart. And so, Father, I thank you for Jessie. I thank you for all that you're doing in her life. And I bless your body, mind, soul, and spirit with the shalom of heaven. And we say that you would be aware of the presence that's coming on you now, that you'd live with an awareness of the presence at a whole new level. In Jesus' name. Now, I don't know why I keep seeing the name Tina. Does Tina mean something to you? That's your Nance name's Tina. Okay, there's something that's going to take place within your guys' relationship. Now, I see healing. I feel like you're going to release healing over her. Yeah, there's a healing that's going to take place. Step out in that. And so, Father, let me grab your hand. Father, I pray right now as a sign, the healing gift that's on this woman of God's life, that she would see healing flow through these hands. And we pray for Tina right now. We cancel the assignment of cancer over Tina. Father, if Paul would lay hands on handkerchiefs and people would be healed, we're laying hands upon hands, and we say the same presence of God come upon these hands, and I declare that a miracle would spring forth. We cancel the assignment of cancer over Tina, and we say, be healed in Jesus' name. You need to lay hands on her if you can, or at least pray over the phone. I don't know where she's at, but I feel like God's going to do something. This is just a love assignment. I feel like God's going to speak to you and through you. So be encouraged. Amen. Come on. You know, I mean, when you're in the presence, he just does amazing. You can keep going all day, but we're going to wait and save some for tonight, because we go from glory to glory. I want to encourage you guys. I really do feel like tonight at the Hope Chapel, come on, I love that. we're gonna build a foundation tonight. I heard the Lord say, spoke to me earlier about what does family look like. Many times in our Christianity, we say the word family we only tell people we're family when something goes wrong. So it's like, okay. You're leaving the church? I thought we were family. But you've never said family before. So what does family look like in kingdom? And so we're going to talk about some things, because I believe when the church becomes the family, sons and daughters will come in. And according to Isaiah 6, which we read, it says nations and kings will come to you. And then it says sons and daughters will be drawn to you. You know what that, you know that's really saying? It's saying the nations and the kings that are attracted to your light will now become your sons and daughters. Kings need to be fathered and mothered. It's actually talking about an orphan planet. And if we can't be family in the church, then we can't break an orphan spirit within our society. So we're going to talk about some things tonight. I hope you would join us, and we're going to go after his presence and see people touched, healed, and I think we might even do a fire tunnel tonight. I kind of feel that. So we're supposed to do like an impartation time. So it's already happening right now. Come on. I love you. You're awesome. Oh, I love it. I love it. So I love you guys. Let me pray over you, Father. So much happened today, and Father, I thank you that things accelerate at the speed of light in the kingdom, and Father, I thank you that even if our physical mind is just too much, our spirit is catching everything that's taking place. And so, Father, I pray for those who are here today that feel a stirring to begin to see things happen within the city and region. Lord, I believe that you're bringing hearts together. I believe you're raising people with a voice for such a time as this, to really bring the destiny out within the city, but also bring transformation within lives of this city. And so, Father, I pray for those who are here this morning that word resonates with, that you're calling, you're wooing in this season, that you're knitting hearts. And we just bless everything you're doing in the midst of these churches, in the midst of this city. And, Father, we say more. There's only one measurement in the kingdom, and that's increase. I don't know if you knew that. God spoke in Genesis, and scientists have proven that things are still being created within the galaxy. Why? Because there's only one measurement in the kingdom. It's increase. There's no decrease. Matter of fact, if you're decreasing, it's called backsliding. Some of you guys get that on the way home. There's only one measurement. It's increase. We go from glory to glory. We're only increasing. We're increasing. We're increasing. We're increasing. And there's increase here for the growth of the kingdom within our midst. And so, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys. We thank you for allowing us to come here. And I think they're going to come up real quick. Mike's going to come up with an announcement. We just love you guys so much. Thank you for allowing us to come and share with you guys this morning. I hope you were encouraged and stirred, and I know we have another opportunity tonight, and we're going to go for it, but I also believe it's not the last time I see you guys. We believe in family, and I feel adopted into this family. So thank you, guys.
Ushers, if you'll come. Ushers, can I get the ushers? We're going to receive a love offering, and a love offering is just our saying thank you for the gift that has been brought into our midst. And so make your checks out to Valley Christian Center and put on the memo, Matt, our special speaker, and we'll make sure that we're going to bless the man. Yeah. Hope you can come back tonight. Love to see you tonight at 6. It's going to be a great time. Caught you guys off guard. Here they're coming. Why don't you stand? That way you can reach your billfold. My pastor used to say this, if you keep it in your shoe, just reach and grab, and let's give generously to bless the gift that's come to our church. So our church. Father, we love you today, and we thank you, God, for the deposit of kingdom that will bear fruit. And Lord, what was done today is going to reverberate throughout eternity. We thank you for the words of encouragement. We thank you for the words of hope. We thank you for the words of affirmation in all of our lives from your word and from those personal words, Lord. How great you are in loving us. How great you are. And Father, we just want to give back. That's what love does. Love gives. And we just give back, Lord, with gratitude in our heart. And we thank you, Father, for Matt and Jordan. And we pray, Father, that this love offering is going to not just take care of now, but it's going to send them to that next place where love and kingdom needs to be brought and family needs to be spoken of. And Lord, we thank you for that. And I thank you for this generous family in Jesus' name. Everyone said yes and amen. Yes and amen. After you're done giving, if you need prayer, we'll be right here. If you want to love on somebody, but if not, we'll see you tonight, 6 p.m. It's going to be a great time of gathering. So thanks, everybody, for coming and being a part of this day. Hey, can we give Matt and Jordan another, just bless them right now. We bless you guys. Welcome to our family. Welcome to the family. God bless you all. Have a great day. Have a great day.